Welcome to installment 268 of Sefer HaMitzvot from the Rambam. Today we will once again discuss prohibition number 251, the prohibition of einas dvarim, causing someone pain and humiliation as a result of your verbal statement. This commandment is expressed in the Chumash in a very similar fashion to the previous commandment, prohibition 250. There is a verse in the book of Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 14, which reads, Al teinu ish es ochiv. And the same expression is used a few verses later, verse 17, V'leiseinu ish es amisei, v'yareisamei elakecha. Both times the word seinu, or einah, is used. The Sifra explains the difference between them. There are two different types of einah. There is einah's mamein, which was the previous commandment, number 250, which is cheating a person monetarily, for example, to be charging them an unfair price. Prohibition 251 from verse 17 is einas dvarim, causing a person mental anguish or pain or humiliation as a result of a verbal comment you have made. The Sifra gives specific examples of prohibited ways of causing mental anguish to another. For example, if a person was a Baal Tshuva, had previously been behaving in a way contrary to the requirements of Torah, and now has come to the proper path, the Sifra says, do not tell him, Zecher Maisecha Rishenim, remember the things he used to do and remind them of his previous acts, and so to any other defect. Any other thing which might be wrong of a person, to point it out explicitly would be a prohibition under einas dvarim. It might be pointed out that in Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam mentioned something which is not even mentioned in his legal code. The Rambam says this prohibition of reminding a Baal Tshuva of his past is even if you do it in such a in a very indirect fashion. Reminding him, for example, is that Rambam says, Teidu Hashem, you know, you should thank Hashem that he has directed you from the bad path you were on before to the good path you're on now. Since this will inwardly cause a pain to the person, even though you're just reminding him to thank God for the wonderful thing which has been done to him, that his life has been straightened out. But since you're reminding him of the past, this is also a nos dvarim that Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvot. And so too, the Sifra says, if a person is enduring sickness or other suffering and has lost their children, as the example is brought of Iyuv in the book of Job, do not be like the so-called friends of Iyuv, who told him, what are you suffering for? Obviously, Hashem doesn't do anything unless you deserve it. Certainly you must have done some sins to cause your suffering. This is also causing the person needless mental anguish. That this which Hashem decides to do to cause anguish is something which Hashem decides, but we should not go beyond the boundaries of what He has done and cause needless anguish. So too, if we see a team of donkeys being led by people who desire to buy certain produce to bring it somewhere else to sell, we should not tell them, well, go over there to find what you need, if we know that that person doesn't have. You might do it in order to annoy the mule drivers, or even to annoy the person that you're sending them to. This is also under the category of einas dvarim. Another common case, which the Sifra discusses, as we discussed in length yesterday, is Layemer Lekama Chefetzeh. Don't ask, how much is this thing worth, unless you have at least some possibility of buying it. Should you just ask out of curiosity, you're going to be causing mental distress to the salesman when he sees that you're not going to buy it, and in fact had no intention on buying it in the first place. The Rambam then quotes the Gemara, which says, G'day le'nas dvarim e'nas mamon, that it is even worse to cause somebody the verbal einah, verbal anguish, than it is to cause the monetary loss, einas mamon. As the verse adds on when speaking about mental anguish, v'yareisamei elokecha, that you should be afraid of Hashem, you should have fear of God, to point out that the worst effect which which this has in comparative to financial damages. Now, Alter Rebbe gives two reasons for this in his legal code in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to financial wrongdoing, there's always a possibility of correcting it later on. But when you've hurt someone's feelings, you cannot necessarily bring them back to the state where they were before. In addition, that when you harm someone financially, you're not harming them. Their money is something external to them, and they can personally survive a financial loss. But when you cause someone mental anguish, you are hurting them. You are hurting their feelings. Their soul and their person is being harmed, not something external to them. All of the details of when this is prohibited and under what conditions it is allowed, and all of the other details are discussed in the fourth chapter of the tractate Baba Metzia. The important thing to think about in this mitzvah is not the act or even the intention of what you plan on being done, but what will be felt by the other person. The Alter Rebbe states in his Shulchan Aruch that even if you do something good and you are trying to benefit the other person, but he will end up being shamed, nevertheless you should avoid it. As he brings a story from the Gemara Ksuvos, that one of the sages was accustomed to bring money to a certain poor person. But in order that the person should not be ashamed, he would go very early in the morning and leave the money outside the door and then leave. Later on, the poor person would wake up, open his door, and find the money. One time, the poor person woke up early and was about to open the door where he would have seen the sage. If he would have seen him, he would have been ashamed seeing face to face the person who was giving him money for such a long period of time. And therefore the sage ran away. But the only place he had to run and hide was by jumping into a furnace. And he did so, pointing out to us the importance of not shaming another person. As we learn also in the Chumash from the story of Yehuda and Tamar, that when Tamar was about to be burned for supposedly having had an illicit relationship, and she was pregnant about to give birth, instead of revealing to everyone that she was pregnant from Yehuda, she rather said, she sent out the things which Yehuda had given her, and said, "I am pregnant to the man who these belong to," telling Yehuda implicitly that if you will reveal it yourself, then fine. If not, I am willing to suffer death rather than shame you. As the Gemara says, that when you shame a person, you are in a way killing them. How is this? That when you shame them, their face blushes. Blushing is the running of blood. Blood comes from one place to another. This is the same thing, in a way, as shvichas damim, shedding a person's blood, since you have caused them shame. An amazing story regarding putting people to shame is told regarding the Arizal. In the days of the Arizal, a person who had previously been forced to convert from Judaism ran away from the Inquisition and settled in the city of Tzfat, where the Arizal was. And the person did a complete tshuva and came back to the ways of Judaism. He went to a certain synagogue where every Shabbos the rabbi would give a sermon, a speech. And one Shabbos, the Rav spoke about the destruction of the temple, and in particular spoke about the lechem aponim, the showbread which was offered every Shabbos from one week to another in the temple, and spoke about the great desire and that God had for these showbreads, but because of our sins, they are no longer allowed to be brought. This simple Jew who had come back to the ways of Judaism wanted more than anything else to satisfy this desire God had, and he therefore in his own way tried to actually do it himself. So he went back to his wife and asked her, please to bake 2 loaves of challah, of the very best she could possibly make, get the best flour, and prepare them in the most beautiful way, and he would bring it to the synagogue as an offering to Hashem. She did this, and he brought them to the synagogue and placed them in the ark, the Aron Kodesh. And there he prayed, and he asked Hashem to forgive him and to forgive the entire Jewish people, and that God should accept this offering. And then he would close the ark and leave. The next, that night, the shamish, the person that took care of the synagogue, walked in to check the Sefer Torah to make sure it was all ready to be used for the next morning in Shabbos service. And he found two challahs there. And he said, this is perfect. Exactly what I needed, two challahs. And he took them home and gave them to his family. The next morning, the simple Jew came back and ran to the Aron Kodesh early in the morning. And what did he see? The two challahs were gone. And he figured that they were accepted as an offering by Hashem, and Hashem had consumed them. And he thanked God for his great luck and fortune that he was able to do such a wonderful thing to cause pleasure to Hashem. And he returned and told his wife that they had been accepted, and he decided they would do this forever, to always bring two challahs to Hashem. And this went on for quite some time. His wife would bake these beautiful challahs. He would place them in the Aron Kodesh and pray from the depths of his heart, and the shamish would bring them home and eat them. One Erev Shabbos, the Rav happened to be in the synagogue and saw this process taking place. The simple man came in, placed the challahs in, and started to pray. The rabbi immediately figured out what happened and ran over and started screaming at this Jew. "How dare you," he said. "You not only are not doing a mitzvah, you are doing a terrible sin, that Hashem has no physical form. How could you think that he would actually eat these breads that you're bringing? And there's no base of mikdash. You can no longer bring offerings to Hashem." And he screamed at the simple Jew until he started crying and became terribly ashamed. And they called in the shamish, who admitted that he had eaten up all of the challahs all of these weeks. Terribly ashamed, the simple Jew returned home, and the rabbi also returned home. However, before Shabbos arrived, a messenger came to this Rav from the Arizal, and the Arizal told him that you must make up a will, because I have seen in the heavens that you are due to die tomorrow in the middle of your Shabbos drasha, in the middle of your sermon. The Rav didn't know what to do, and he ran quickly to the Arizal, begging him for mercy, and asked him to know what was the reason for this terrible punishment. And the Arizal told him that since the day that the temple had been destroyed, nothing had caused such a joy in the heavens than the pure, simple gift of this poor Jew, that he brought it from the bottom of his heart and meant it sincerely, and he said there had been nothing to match it since the destruction of the temple. That is number one, said the Arizal. Number two, that you have put him to shame, that you shamed him so deeply and so terribly. This, together with taking away this gift which Hashem wanted, both of you have earned you the death penalty, and I have seen up in the heavens that this is a decree which it is impossible to annul. There is nothing at all which can be done to take it off. And the next day, the Rav went to shul, and in the middle of his Shabbos drasha, the Rav died on the bima, just as the Arizal had predicted. From this we see the seriousness of putting another person to shame and causing them pain. So too, on the other hand, we can extrapolate that when we say something positive about another Jew and bring him to Simcha, that what a great thing this is l'mayla. As the Gemara says in Tainis, that Rabbi Broika asked Eliyahu HaNavi to point him to two people who deserve Olam Haba. And in the middle of the busy market, he pointed to two brothers. So Rabbi Broika asked him, "What did you do to deserve this? What is your great merit?" And he said that we hate seeing people unhappy. When we see people arguing, we always make a joke. We try to cause simcha to other people. And this was their merit, that they deserved such a tremendous portion in Olam Haba. It is perhaps worthwhile to conclude with one more law regarding Einos Tvorim, how the Alter Rebbe concludes his discussion of Einos Tvorim, that a person has to be very, very careful, Tzorech Lizor Ma'ed Beinos Ishte, not to cause distress to his wife, and not to cause her pain verbally, because since tears are very easy, she's very easy for her to come to cry, therefore the punishment for causing this pain could be very quick to come. And so too, a person should always be very careful to honor his wife, because the only way blessings comes to a man's house comes blessings come to a man's house is because of his wife. And as he quotes the Chachamim, that cause, give more honor and glory and respect to your wives in order that you should get rich.